Today's Shir Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Tav Resh Mem Tes. We are up to Sif Beis. V'chein Shaul B'Yom Rishon. So the Shulchan Aruch now is going to, in this Sif, continue with two more implications of the requirement of Lachem, that the Dal Aminim has to be yours, right? Lachem Yishal Lachem. Again, that on the first day of Sukkot, the mitzvah of Dal Aminim has to be performed with a lulav set that one actually owns and possesses. Now, the Shulchan Aruch will state that since a borrowed sha'ul item is not your own, it can't be used for the mitzvah on the first day of Sukkot. And the Ramah will add that something that is usher to get hana'ah from is not considered your own and also cannot be used for the mitzvah on the first day of Sukkot. So here we go. V'chol sha'ul, v'chein sha'ul b'yom rishon. Similarly, a borrowed item, a borrowed one of the Dal Aminim, is going to be pasul. It's going to be pasul when? B'yom HaRishon. Mishum, once again, Zibainan Lachem. Because we require Lachem, it'll be yours. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Sif Katan Tes Vav, V'chein Sha'ul. I am a Magen Avraham, Prima Gadam, V'seichen V'rayam. He says, check out the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadam. The essence of what they're saying is as follows. That when one gives his lulav bundle to someone else to use, his esrog and lulav, certainly it is good to specify on the first day that he's giving it to him, the matana amanas lahatzir. He's giving it to him on condition that he returns it, meaning he has to specify that I'm not loaning it to you, that you're a borrower, because if you loan it to him, he won't be yotze, because he's a borrower, he won't be yotze the mitzvah. Rather, you have to give it to him. Ah, but how are you going to get it back? So what you do is, you give it to him as a matana al menas lehachzir, which the Gemara in Sukkah and in Kiddushin spells out that you could be yotze if you went ahead and acquired a esrog and lulav al menas lehachzir, because basically you're kone on condition that you return it. But when you have it, you're considered the owner when you have it based on a matana amanas lahasir. So when you give it to someone, you should make sure to specify you're giving it to him as a matana amanas lahasir and not as a she'ela. Aval b'di'evet, he says, even if you don't specify it. He says, b'di'evet, if the one who's borrowing it simply asks the owner to give him his lulav to fulfill the mitzvah, to give him the esrog and lulav to fulfill the mitzvah, we will assume that he is yotze, the d'evet. Why? The mistama nasalo ba'ofan shemutal tzeispo. Because pashtus, he would be giving it to him in a way that he would fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, da'ainu b'matana amanas lahasir. In other words, it would be implied that this is not a halachic she'ela, but that it is a matana amanas lahasir. Because he would only be giving it to him if he doesn't specify. He obviously only giving it to him in order so that he would be able to be yotze the mitzvah. So therefore, it would be halachically understood, even without specifying b'di'evet, that it's a matana amanas lahasir and not a she'ela. He says, v'ashulchan aruch mayri, sh'amar lo b'feirish, sh'nosan lo rak b'toyras she'ela v'lo matana. He says, shulchan aruch here is talking where he specifies, I am giving it to you and you're borrowing it. You're a borrower and it's not the matana. So that, for sure, the one who's borrowing it, if it was specified that he's getting it b'she'ela, I am loaning it to you, and you are a shoel, then it would not work. Oh, the mayri shehanosein eino yodeya hadin she'ein yoitzin b'she'ula. Or, if you're talking with the one who's giving it, if he doesn't know the din at all, that he can't be yotze with a borrowed esrog and lulav, so the ofen zeh bevada eino yotze. In such a case, the one who borrows it is not going to be yotze because it wasn't given to him at all as a matana. In other words, the assumption that it's going to be good and that one can be yotze, even if it's not specified that it's a matana amanas lahasir, is only if there is any, you know, if there's a basic das and stance that one can assume and presume the one who's giving it has. But if he has no understanding and conception that he has to be giving it to him as a matana amanas lahasir, then even when it's just given stam, it would be presumed to be she'ela, and the one who gets it from him will not be yotze. continue on in the now in the Ramah, and we already mentioned this in our introduction today. Ramah continues on. V'hamudar hana'a milulavo shel chavero o milulavo shel atzmo ina yotzei biyom rishon lo havi shalachem. Ramah says that someone who made a neder not to benefit from his fellow's lulav or from his own lulav, he cannot fulfill his mitzvah. He will not be mekayim his mitzvah with it on the first day because it is not considered, once again, lachem, your own. This is based on a Tshuva's Rajba. He says in Siman Tash Shin Mem Vav. We now look at the Mishnah Berura, Sif Katan Tes Zayin, Mi Lulavo Shel Chavero, that someone who made a neder not to benefit from his Chaver's Lulav set, from his Esrigan Lulav, cannot fulfill his mitzvah. What does this mean? Meaning, Rotza Lomar, Chavero, Rotza Litain Lo Halulav Matan Amnas Lahas, meaning, even in a case where the other person wants to give him the lulav set as a matana amnas lahatzir, and it would be a good kinyan, still, in such a situation, where even though it's not going to be disqualified because it's a borrowed one, but rather it's because someone made a neder not to benefit from his friend's lulav. So if that friend gives it to him as a matana, he will not be able to be yaitzeh, even though he got it the matana. And the Shulchan Aruch, okay, therefore comes. Continuing on, Kamash Malan, he comes to teach us that after came the kind of the mitzvahs lav lenos nenu, even though there's a principle that we know that mitzvos are not given for our benefit. This is a famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that teaches us mitzvahs lav lenos nenu. Mitzvahs are not given for a benefit, meaning that fulfilling a mitzvah is not considered a hana for halachic purposes, and therefore, for example, if one made a neder not to benefit from an object, he can still use it for a mitzvah, since he's not considered to have benefited from the object. Okay. Now, the Ritva explains that the reason for this is because the hana of a mitzvah's reward does not derive directly from the object that is used for the mitzvah, but is instead a result of the action being done. The benefit of schar and reward is consequently not a product of the usher object, the neder, neder hana. So therefore, one who made a neder not to benefit from a lulav really should still theoretically be allowed to use it for his mitzvah. So why can't he use it for the mitzvah? So he's basically saying that even though normally we say mitzvah lav lenos nenu, you should be able to be yotze, still using this lulav set, mikomakom al kopanim lachem lo mikri. His using this lulav bundle, the esrigan lulav that there was a neider hanah from, is not considered, okay, your own. In other words, it's not considered benefit. So, because if it's a but it's still not considered his own, because since it is usher to benefit from it, so halachically, he does not own it. And therefore, the Ramah basically explains that even though the teras, the isser of benefiting from it, there's no isser to benefit from it, but he still does not own it based on the fact that it's usher to him from, it became usher to him to go ahead and benefit from and use. Okay, and that's the idea that Surah Hananinu is not Bachem. So the basic idea is that the Talminim that are forbidden in Hana cannot be used for the mitzvah on the first day, even by their owner. And the reason is that the Torah's requirement of Lachem entails that the item be at the owner's full disposal for all of its usual uses. An item that the owner cannot benefit from in the usual manner is not considered to be your own in the full sense, and therefore cannot be used for the mitzvah. There are others that have a different approach here. The Ber Halacha that brings down a prima godim, who quotes the Rajba, that is the source of this psak, and he actually states that the one who made a neder not to benefit from his fellow's belongings cannot use his lulav, even though the one making the neder did not specify specifically the lulav. And perhaps the Ramah stressed the lulav for the following reason. He says to benefit, right? He says the person made a neder not to benefit from his fellow's lulav. So why is the Ramah stressing that he made a neder not to benefit from his lulav? Could have just said it the way Prima Gadim, according to Rajba, where the Rajba said it is the neder not to benefit from his Chaver's belongings in general. So the reason could be that he stressed it, lulav, is that the wording of this psak, the one who made a neder not to benefit from the lulav, cannot fulfill the mitzvah, implies that had he merely vowed, he merely made a neder not to eat it, then he could fulfill his obligation with it. Now, the Primagadim rules that with respect to the esrog, even if one made a neder not to eat it, he can't fulfill his what? His mitzvah with it. This is because an esrog that cannot be eaten is possible for the mitzvah. We'll see this in Sif Hei. And the Ramah may have specified the lulav since he wished to imply that only a neder not to benefit from it precludes using it for the mitzvah, whereas a neder not to eat it does not. This is because the psul of an item that cannot be eaten is relevant only to food items. And therefore, he wanted to exclude the esrog from this implication, since with an esrog, even a neder specifically not to eat it, not a general iser hana'a b'chlal, even if you took a neder not to eat it, it would not be good for esrog. When it comes to lulav, only a neder not to benefit from the lulav in any way would make it something that, since he can't benefit from the lulav in any other way, it lacks in lachen, in full ownership, so you'd not be able to be yotze. Gimel. V'chein shel yarnig dachas, this is based on the first Mishnah in Sukkah, in Gulav HaGazel, the third parak of Sukkah. V'chein shel yarnig dachas v'shel asherah shel Yisrael pasal. Aval shel akum v'chadchila lo yitol. So he says that similarly, any of the dalaminim from an irani dachas, right? What is an irani dachas? An irani dachas is a city, the majority of the city worship the Avodah Zarah. And if it's a lulav from an asherah belonging to a Jew, it's going to be pasul. However, if you take, let's say, a lulav from an asherah belonging to a non-Jew, so lechatchila, he says, lo yitol. Aval shel akum lechatchila lo yitol. V'natal yatsa miyom rishon ve'elech lo ba'inan lachem. So when it comes to the lulav and balminim that belong to a non-Jew, if it's a shvam ashera belonging to a non-Jew, lechatchila it shouldn't be taken, but if one did take it, he would be yotzei b'di'eved after the first day when there's no requirement of lachem. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura on this. Sifkat and Yudches shall irani dachas. He says mishum de l'sreifa koi. This is because the property that's found in a irani dachas is slated to be burnt, as it is written. Dechsev v'es kol shlala tichbots, and all its shlala, its booty, shall be gathered. The pasuk continues on, gathered to the midst of the street, and you should burn it in fire. The whole city and all its booty, all its shlala. The lulav bai shir arba tfachim. And as you know, a lulav requires a requisite shir, a size of 4 tfachim, as we'll see coming up in Tafresh Nun very soon. And since this lulav is slated to be burnt, the halacha considers it that the requisite shir ain shiure kayim. The requisite shir size is no longer present, for it is as though it is burnt, because saruf dami, because it is as though it is burnt, as we understand that any item that is required to be destroyed is viewed as though it is already broken apart, and therefore this lulav, which is condemned to be burnt, is viewed as though it already is burnt, and so it is disqualified for the mitzvah. The truth is, the Mishnah Brura, as well as myself, we're mentioning the lulav's requisite shear. This halacha would obviously apply to all the dalman minim, because all 4 of them has to meet a requisite size to qualify for the use of this mitzvah. All of them have a shear. We continue on. That's what he says. The requisite shear is not there. And for this reason, it's going to be pasul, since it's considered like it's burnt, it's going to be pasul even for the second day. That is, the problem, that if the problem were only that let's say Avodah Zarah, okay, was usher for benefit, let's say, for example, by an Asherah, then it would be kosher on the later days of Sukkos, when the requirement of Lachem does not apply, okay? And this happens to be the case with the non-Jews, Avodah Zarah Asherah, which we're going to discuss. But items that are idolatrous, that belong to a Jew, are more problematic, because as we said, they're viewed as they no longer have their requisite size, because they are projected to be burnt. And therefore, they are puzzle for the entire Sukkos, as we'll see in Sif Hei tomorrow. And we'll see as well today, very soon, the difference between a Jewish Avodah Zarah and a non-Jew Avodah Zarah, a Jew's Asherah and a non-Jew's Asherah. Let's see first Sif Katan Yud Tes, B'shel Asherah, not only in our Dachas, but also on Asherah. What's an Asherah? Hu Ilan Sh'ov Dinoso. This is a tree that is worshipped, meaning it was planned in order to worship it for the Avodah Zarah. Such a tree becomes usher in its entirety, like an Asherah, and a tree that was not planted for the purpose of worshipping, it will not become ushered as an Asherah. It remains subject to the usual rule that anything attached to the ground does not become usher on account of worshipping it, even for Avodah Zarah. And the Mishnah Berurah will presently discuss the status of such a tree. Now, the reason why the lulav species taken from an Asherah are pasul, that's going to be discussed in the next, okay, coming up right now. Let's see. So he says, let's continue on in the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, v'im nato v'lasof avado, if it was first planted and only later worshipped for Avodah Zarah, then the growth that grew before it was, okay, meaning the growth that grew before it was worshipped for Avodah Zarah is going to be mutter for ordinary use, right? But it's going to be asur lechatchila for use in the service of Hashem. Why? Dimayis, because it is repugnant, meaning a tree that was not planted in the first place for worship does not attain the unique status of an Asherah, as we said. And meaning, whatever grew before the tree was worshipped remains subject, as we said, to the usual halacha, that anything attached to the ground does not become usher on account of any type of Avodah Zarah to it, or worshipping of it. Therefore, it remains permitted for use and benefit, and it need not be destroyed. So why can't you go ahead and use it for Gavoa? So he says, because it is Mos, meaning even though the growth that was already on the tree when it was worshipped as a Avodah Zarah is permitted to go ahead and get Hanah from, and therefore you'll be considered the owner of it, and you should be able to be Yotze, it is inappropriate that such a item that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah be used for a mitzvah in service of Hashem. However, in the event that one did so, most poskim understand the Magen Avraham, it's in Yud Aleph, the Magen Avraham, the poskim that the mitzvah performed using these species, these dalaminim, have been fulfilled, and another lulav set does not need to be taken. Meaning, you shouldn't take such a lulav from a tree, from a palm tree that was only worshipped subsequent to when it was planted and started growing. You shouldn't take it lechatchila because it's mos, it's disgusting, but you would be yotze based on these poskim. Because these poskim understand the Shulchan Aruch's psul of Asherah specifically relating to the species cut from mamish a Asherah, the idolatrous tree, namely one that was planted for worship when it was planted, or any of the growth that grew from an already worshipped tree. So that's the pashtus of these poskim. But the Matzis HaShekel, he understands the Magen Avram differently. Okay? He understands that such dalaminim taken from a worship tree are going to be puzzle for the mitzvah of the Eved as well. This is all in the Shar HaTziyun. We continue on in the Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan Chaf, Shel Yisrael puzzle. So we said, if the Asherah is the Asherah of Yisrael, it's going to be puzzle. Why? The Kevon She'ein Bitol Ha'akum Moila Lehet Tira Bahana Harehi Omedes Lisrefa. Once again, since an idolaters, the non-Jews, Bittel is ineffective to permit this object in benefit. Harehi Omedes Litzrefa. It is going to be slated to be burnt, because since the non-Jews Bittel cannot do anything to the Avodah Zarah of a Jew, let's say the Asherah of a Jew, and therefore he can't be mevatel it, so then it is, once it is considered Omedes Lesreifa, as we said, Bechol HaOmed Lesreifa, anything that is already designated and slated to be burnt, is considered by Halacha, as we said, as burnt, and therefore Ein Shiur Kayam, therefore its requisite size is not Kayam. However, when it comes to a non-Jew, okay, the non-Jew has the ability to go ahead and he can go ahead and he can nullify the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, when we talk about a non-Jew, you can lechatchila, you shouldn't and can't take it, but if you did, you would be yotze after the first day, because you do not require lechem after the first day. Look at the Mishnah Brura. When it's the Asherah of a non-Jew, you're using for lulav. Im natal yatza chavbe lechatchila lo yitos v'kam lechavalef afilu im bitla ha'akum d'shari lehedyot. This is true even when a non-Jew has done bitl to it, making it permitted for ordinary use. Lechatchila, you cannot take it, as we said, because legavoa aser demayus, because it is aser for use in service of Hashem, because it is repugnant, it is disgusting. Okay. Now, sifkatan chapez bimnatal yatsa vein sarach laxor velital. Right, if he went ahead and he took it, he's yotze and he does not need to take a lulav set a second time. And this is true even when the non-Jew has not done bittel, has not nullified the avodah zarah. And therefore, this is even when it is still usher to eat or derive benefit from, because the non-Jew was not mevatel it. He didn't nullify his avodah zarah. Nevertheless, the mitzvah is fulfilled. Why? Because since the bittel, if it was done, would effectively permit this lulav set lahatira bahana hare eina omedas lesreifa. It is not defined as slated and projected to be burnt, since a she'efshar she'ivat lena ha'akum. Since the non-Jew can do a bittel and nullify the avodah zarah, it can't be defined as already burnt. And therefore, he goes on, she'efshar she'ivat ha'akum, u'mashenodla letzeisba eina chashuva na, the mitzvah labla na nitnu. And he says, and it's for the fact that it is usher to get benefit from, because it was not yet, there was no bittel done to it yet, so that we already explained. Taking something to fulfill the mitzvah is not considered a benefit, and since it's not considered a benefit, okay, because mitzvahs were not given for hana, for benefit, as explained above, so therefore, he is going to be yotzei. again, you shouldn't take it because it's most, but he will be yotze. Now, again, remember that we're only talking about after the first day, Sifkatan Chav Gimel, Lo Ba'inan Lachem. Aval B'yom Rishon, the Ba'inan Lachem, Eino Yotze Ba'a, Figu B'diyeb. You're not going to be yotze even B'diyebet, Kol's Man, Shalom Bitla Ha'akom. As long as the non-Jew has not been Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah, and it's Asa Bahana, so then on the first day, anything that's Asa Bahana is not Lachem. Right? Asur Bahana, but don't make me Lachem. Once it's Asur Bahana, it's not going to be considered Lachem. And Sivkan Chavdalin, the Ramah had ended off by saying, right, by Yain La'el, Simin Tav Kuf Pei Ve, love. What's he referring to there? Rotsa Lomar, this is Sivkan Chavdalin, Rotsa Lama Desham Hevi Ramah. The Yesh Machmirin, he says, because there, the Ramah there cites that those who are machmir, the yesh machmirin, okay, there are those, he says, that are machmir afilu b'shal akum, even with respect to an avoda zara belonging to a non-Jew. Shalola tseis afilu b'diyeved kodim shenis batel, maintaining that the mitzvah is not fulfilled even b'diyeved before there has been any bittul. And regarding the practical halacha, he says, "Ulinyan dina ayin leel simatav kuf beis sivkatan yud ches." In the Mishnah Brura, there. Now, this opinion quoted here from again there in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Vav, that they do not accept the line of reasoning stated that an idolatrous object, which can potentially be nullified by a non-Jew, by an idolater, is not considered ground up, and thus lacking in requisite size. Because the nullification will obviate the need for destruction. Rather, this opinion maintains that since the moment the object is idolatrous and requires destruction, its requisite size is at that moment not considered to be present. It is therefore only acceptable for the mitzvah after it has actually been nullified and underwent bittul. Now, when he says va'ayim ladina, check out halacha lemaisa, what he said in Tav Kuf Pei Vav. The Mishnah Brura writes there that the halacha is in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch, and that a non-Jew's object may be used for a mitzvah when nothing else is available. However, if the person later comes across a different mitzvah object that is free of this concern, the mitzvah should be performed a second time without reciting a bracha out of concern for the more chamer view.